This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
To take your copy of God's Word, whether that's an iPad, iPhone, Bible, whatever it is, we're going to stand. We're going to take our copy of God's Word, and we're going to stand, and we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I want you to know this. Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. Actually, I've preached at Ephesus. At Ephesus, Turkey. And this was written to the church. It was written to people just like us, not a bunch of pagan Greeks, but people that are Christians, Christian people. This is what he said to Christian people. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, get this, folks. He said to Christian people, be filled with the Spirit. When I get Jesus, I receive the Holy Spirit. When I get Jesus, I receive the Holy Spirit. But when Jesus gets me, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? He wants all of us. He wants us totally surrendered to Him. See, you said, but Pastor, God's in my life, but I know He's in your life, but He wants to be more than a resident. He wants to be president. And many of us just want Him as a resident. We don't really want Him as president. And He says, I want to be more than just a resident. I want to be president. I want to be number one. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I read this week, thankful people live longer. Thankful people. That's why we shouldn't be grumbly hateful. We ought to be humbly grateful. Thankful people live longer. You said, we've always got something to thank God for. You said, well, Pastor, I can't even pay my bills. Well, thank God you're not one of your creditors. Amen? All right. Look, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's what I'm going to preach from. Right there is where I'm going to preach. Submitting to yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's the verse that most men like to read. No. I'm just being transparent. That's the verse. But you know, I researched it, by the way, team, and this was not a part of the message. That little word "own" in the original Greek translation means special. Special. I wonder sometimes if we'd be special, what a difference it would make. Amen. I think many times we're wanting a response when we're not being special. But that's not the verse I'm going to preach from. I'm going to preach right here. Submitting yourselves one to another. You know what that says? That says both sides are supposed to submit. Both sides are supposed to submit according to what the Bible teaches. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and marriage. The Holy Spirit and marriage. I heard about a couple that had a very successful marriage, and somebody asked him, said, what do you attribute to the great success that you have in marriage? And the man said, I'll tell you what. He said, once a week we go to a nice restaurant. Once a week we do. There's nice music. They have wonderful appetizers, great entree, delicious desserts. And once a week we go. The guy said, that's tremendous. He said, yeah. She goes on Tuesday and I go on Thursday. I read something that was interesting to me. We're living in the middle of COVID-19. I read that during COVID-19, It's the largest single year for increase in divorce in decades. The largest single year for increase in divorces in decades. Literally, domestic violence has greatly soared during this period. I began to look at those stats, and I realized, folks, the answer for every aspect of our lives is the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I want you to know something. God's on the throne. The Bible says Jesus is at His right hand. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's here with us. He's here. He's just as much God as God the Father. He's just as much God as God the Son. And when God was addressing marital issues, He said to us, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." And then He gives us three indicators. You say, "Pastor, I wonder if I'm filled with God's Spirit." Well, He gives us three things that will tell us whether or not we are. The first one is joy. The first one is joy. Look what verse 19 says. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Let me tell you something. If you're always complaining, if you're always down, if you're always despondent, that's a good indicator that you're not spirit-filled. Because we have joy. And by the way, just because you're in church, folks, I've been the pastor of Rock Springs Church for over 30 years. And some of the most negative people I've ever met in my life have been in the church. There's people in the church that are so negative, if they walked into a dark room, they'd develop. They're that negative. But I want you to know something. If we're spirit-filled, we have the joy of the Lord in our lives. But let me tell you something else. There's another indicator. Not only joy, but we're thankful. Look what the Bible says. "Giving thanks always for all things." I heard about one man. He said, "I'm grateful. I just don't like to talk about it." Well, reality is, if we're grateful, we will talk about it. If we're grateful, we will talk about it. So if you say, "Pastor, I don't know about my situation." I know about it. If we're spirit-filled, we've got joy. If we're spirit-filled, we're thankful. But let me tell you something else. If we're spirit-filled, we're submissive. There's a submissiveness in our lives. Look what verse 21 says. "Submitting yourselves one to another." Somebody said, in the first year of marriage, the man speaks and the woman listens. And in the second year of marriage, the woman speaks and the man listens. And in the third year of marriage, they both speak and the neighbors listen. You know, the difference, ladies and gentlemen, in the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. If you study the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for tasks. It would come upon people for seasons. Well, He lives within us every day. And I thought about something. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, you know this story. Samuel goes down to Jesse's house, and he anoints David to be the king. And look what it says. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." When I read that, I said, that makes sense. Because God anointed him with the Holy Spirit because he's going to become king. But then I realized something, folks. From the day he was anointed, it was was 15 years later before he became king. 15 years later. What happened after he was anointed? I'll tell you what happened. For 15 years, he was on the run. For 15 years, he was hiding out in the wilderness. He was hiding out in caves. For 15 years, he was going through difficult situations. But let me tell you something. He was anointed for those difficult situations of life. Let me tell you something, folks. It's easy to think, I need God's anointing to lead worship. I need God's anointing to teach my class. I need God's anointing to head up my business. Let me tell you something. You need God's anointing to be the dad that you need to be. You need God's anointing to be the parent you need to be. You need God's anointing to be the husband you need to be. You need God's anointing just to be the wife you need to be. You need God's anointing every day just to be the person that you need to be. So God tells us to submit one to another. But he says the only way you can do that is through the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to see something. First of all, I want you to see the submissive wife. The submissive wife. I want you to see three things about the submissive wife. First of all, she submits willingly. She submits willingly. Now let me make a statement before I preach here. Are women superior to men? Happy wife, happy life. People have said, Pastor, are women superior to men? Uh-huh. Wait, let me preach. A woman is superior to a man at being a woman. And a man is superior to a woman at being a man. Neither one is inferior to the other. Galatians 3 and 28 says they were created equal. Neither one is inferior or superior. But here's what I say. Many times women will say to me, Pastor Benny, I want to change my husband. I want my husband to change. Well, how Pastor, did I do it? Well, look what 1 Peter 3 says. Likewise, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, by the way, never says for that woman to be in subjection to every other man. Amen? Never says for that woman to be in subjection to every other man. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, that means that husband is not everything he should be. They may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. What's it saying, folks? If you really want to change your husband, it's when your husband can look and see a difference in you. When your husband can look, amen, you can clap there. You see, here's how a lot of women try to change their husbands. Proverbs 27 and 15. You know what it says? It says, a continual raindrop is like a nagging woman. A continual raindrop is like a nagging woman. So what's the Bible saying? It's saying you're not going to nag your husband into changing. Your husband's going to change when he can look at you and see a difference in your life. See, I see she submits willingly, but let me tell you something else. She submits reverently. She submits reverently. Look what 1 Peter 3, 2 says. When they see the purity and reverence of our lives. Let me tell you the greatest need that a man has. The greatest need that a man has is for his wife to reverence him. The greatest need that a man has is for his wife to reverence him. And wait, closely second is for his adult children to reverence and respect him. Because what does it mean to reverence your husband? It means to hold him in high regard. To hold him, it means to look for things. To encourage your husband. Honey, you're a good man. You're a godly man. You work hard. You just find something. Even if it's, hey, honey, you made it up the stairs. But he's crying out for his wife to reverence him more than anybody in the world. He wants her to be proud of him. I'm telling you what they want, but I'm telling you the truth. I heard about a man that one day he was leaving for work, and he looked across the road, and this woman grabbed her husband, and she just laid a big kiss on him. He said to his wife, "I'd give anything if you'd do that." She said, "I can't, honey. He's a married man." She submits willingly. She submits reverently. But let me tell you the third thing she does. She submits spiritually. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit, she submits spiritually. Now look what the Bible says. It's talking to the women who's adorning. Let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair or wearing of gold. Now, I've had preachers say to me, "Brother Benny, the Bible teaches against a woman plaiting her hair. And the Bible teaches against a woman wearing gold." And I said, "Well, let's read the whole scripture. Who's adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold, or putting on apparel." So what I'm saying, if you're going to take the first two literal, you've got to also, it teaches. I mean, it also teaches she runs around in her birthday suit. Amen? I mean. But that's not what it's saying. Now, let me explain. It's not saying we shouldn't focus on the outward, that a woman shouldn't focus on her appearance. It's by no means is the scripture. Listen, I think a woman ought to do her best to try to look nice for her husband. I think a woman ought to look presentable, and I just think that's scriptural. That's biblical. If 89% of everything we learn in life is visual, what people see is so important. I've been preaching all these years and been asked all these questions, and here's one I've been asked. I wouldn't offend you, but I'm just telling you, you won't know the question. The number one question I've been asked in all my years in ministry are animals going to be in heaven? It's the number one question. Are animals going to be in heaven? By the way, no bulldogs. But sure, animals are going to be in heaven. Jesus is coming back on a white horse. Get real. But here's a question I've been asked. "Pastor, is it sin for a lady to wear makeup?" And I don't even know that I should answer the way I've always answered. But this is the answer. I always say, it ought to be sin for some not to. He talks about the outer, but he says that's not what's most important. But let it be the hidden part of the heart, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. What it's saying, what's really beautiful, is when that woman has a relationship with God. What really makes her beautiful is when she loves the Lord. What really makes her beautiful is when she focuses more on the inner than she does on the outer. What really makes her beautiful is when she's more consumed with what the Lord thinks about her than what everybody else thinks about her. And by the way, can I say this? That is sustainable too. That is sustainable. Get real, folks. Life here is like a bath. The longer we stay, the more wrinkles we get. Amen? So she submits willingly, reverently, spiritually. And you say, Pastor Benny, that is so good, but it doesn't end there. Look what it says. It talks about the submissive husband. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourself. So that wife is to submit to the husband, but the husband is to submit to the wife. By the way, is this good preaching? Yeah. Wait. The wife is to submit to the husband, but the husband is to submit to the wife. Somebody said, a clue to happiness in marriage, to be happy in marriage, you must understand him a lot and love him a little. To be happy with a woman, you must love her a lot and try not to understand her at all. But the Bible teaches the antithesis of that. Because look what 1 Peter 3 and 7 says. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. How does the husband submit to the wife? First of all, he submits to her physical needs. He submits to her physical needs. Look what the Bible says. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them. Dwell with them. It's talking about her physical needs. I want you to understand something. The greatest need that every woman has, it matters not. The greatest need that every woman has is security. Security. That's the greatest need in a lady's life. And it's a husband's responsibility to provide that security to her physically. And he submits to her physical needs. He says, I want to make sure that your physical needs are met. I want to show you something. In Genesis 2:15, look what the Bible says. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. What'd God do? God created a man and he gave him a job. God created a man and he gave him a job. Now look. After the man started working, God brought something into his life or someone into his life. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. Here's all I want you to see. God gave him work before God gave him a woman. God gave him work before God gave him a woman. And let me tell you something. If you're a woman and he won't work, you don't need him. That's right. Amen? Amen? I'm saying to you, he has a responsibility. I'm not preaching and teaching against a lady working outside the home. That's not my point. Here's what I am preaching and teaching. That husband needs to say, if I have to work three jobs to provide security for that woman, I'll do it because she matters that much to me. It matters not what I have to do. I'll do whatever I have to do to provide security and build security into her life. One couple got married, and after they'd been married for a little while, the husband said to his little wife, I sure wish you could make biscuits like Mama. And he said, and she said to him, I sure wish you could bring home the dough like Daddy. Listen, he submits to her physical needs. But let me tell you the second thing. He submits to her emotional needs. He submits to her emotional needs. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and 7, she's the weaker vessel. So he's to build security into her life emotionally. How can you build security into her life? You do it through being trustworthy. You do it through being honest. It's very quiet. You want to build security into your life, into your wife, you be honest with her. You want to build security into your wife, you be truthful. She needs to know that you're committed. She needs to know that you're committed for the long haul. She needs to know that you only have eyes for her. I know it's simple, folks, but I promise you, what I'm preaching works. Because it builds trust into the relationship. And the foundation of every relationship is trust. So how does he submit? He says, honey, look, I'm going to submit to your physical needs. I'm going to submit to your emotional needs. But he says, lastly, I want to submit to your spiritual needs. Look what it says. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This is what I believe. If a husband and wife have a situation and they're trying to reach a decision and they've got a decision to make, and at the end they just can't reach a conclusion, you say, Pastor Benny, whose responsibility is it to make the decision? It's the husband's responsibility. But listen to me closely. I believe this. I believe if that wife could find that husband and he's down on his knees and he says, God, I really don't know what the right decision is, but I need you to direct me. Abraham Lincoln said, I've been driven to my knees by an overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and all about me seemed insufficient in the day. When that wife sees that husband down on his knees and he says, God, I want to do what you want us to do, you'll have a hard time convincing me that a wife's not willing to follow that man. See, it's not hard to love a submitting wife, and it's not hard to submit to a loving husband. God's plan works so well. God's plan works so well. I have been married 36 years. And I've said many times, Barbara and I have never gone to bed upset at each other. Now, we've stayed up for 2 or 3 days at a time. We was kids when we got married. I was preaching. I said, Barbara, divorce can't be a part of our vocabulary. Can be. Murder can, but divorce can't. You know when God's done good things in my life? You know when God's done good things in my ministry? When Barbara and I had harmony in our home. That verse, that verse, 1 Peter 3:7. Barbara, do you remember the first time I found it? Over 30 years ago, we didn't have a fuss, but we had some real intensive fellowship. And I stormed out of the house. And I said, I'm leaving. And I was a pastor. I'm leaving. I don't want to be in this. And I had my Bible, And I was hunting Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. God is my witness. I was in, had that Bible, and I found Ephesians 5 and 22, and I couldn't find it. But God brought me to this verse. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And I go back home, and I say, Barbara, come in the bedroom. Look at this verse I found. She said, what does that mean, Benny? I said, it means this. You want to have a baby? She said, oh, I do. I said, Barbara, I want to grow a church. She said, yes, you do. But I said, as long as we're not getting along, our prayers are hindered. As long as we're not getting along, our prayers are hindered. And Barbara, we need the Holy Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I said, we got to have harmony in our home. Because God can bless us. And I want you to know this, folks. If you don't have harmony in your home, your prayers are hindered also. Your prayers are hindered. That means so much to you, it's being hindered. It's being hindered. But when we come and say, God, I need to be filled with your Spirit. And he says, I need to be filled. And she says, Lord, I need to be filled. And then we experience love and joy and peace. What's the secret, folks? The secret is giving more of myself to him and getting more of him with me. It's that simple. It's less of me and more of him. He's the one we need. And no matter what the problem is in your relationship, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome it. Hey, we can clap for that. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome it.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and his blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.